Good evening. In the news tonight, New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Vivedito uses her platform to talk about sexual abuse.
When you have an individual who is boasting about violating and taking from a woman something without her consent, I just couldn't anymore. And to have someone laughing and goading it and enabling it is just, it was very painful for me.
The U.S. military wades deeper into the civil war in Yemen.
Perhaps as many as 1,200 bases the U.S. has around the world. And this extension of might is at all levels. Now they're going increasingly to both secret operations and targeted killing through drones.
And Bob Dylan has won the 2016 Nobel Prize in Literature. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, October 13th, 2016. In reaction to the vile political climate we find ourselves in, this with tapes released of Donald Trump where he talks casually about sexual abuse and he brags about how his fame allowed him to do anything to women, New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Vivedito made public two incidents of abuse she suffered, this between the ages of 5 and 8 years old.
You know, I have a platform that has and provides a level of visibility. And I think that with that, it carries some responsibility on my part that, yes, some things that are uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable. This is the first time I've ever publicly talked about this, that I utilize this platform to raise visibility. So I'm 1 in 5, 20% of young girls, unfortunately, experience some form of sex abuse and molestation. And I fall in that category. So I'll just say, and I would probably not want to go further, but that between the ages of 5 and 8, I was molested by two different individuals in different points in time. And it's a reality that you live with every day. So when you have an environment and a climate where you have a, and what really triggered it for me was last Friday when we heard about the tape, when you have an individual who is boasting about violating and taking from a woman something without her consent, I just couldn't anymore. And to have someone laughing and goading it and enabling it is just, it was very painful for me, and it triggered things that I hadn't felt in a long time.
Yesterday, Mark Vivedito tweeted out, 1 in 5 girls are victims of child sex abuse. I'm that 1 in 5. Trump's misogyny and sexual violence has reopened wounds I've tried to heal. Hashtag basta. Mark Vivedito is one of many throughout the country whose memories of sexual abuse were triggered by the Republican presidential candidate. Women are sharing their stories. The city council speaker today is talking to the New York City Press Corps.
You have 20%. I mean, look at the women in this room, right? May not be the only one who's been in that experience, and it takes, you know, courage to put yourself in a vulnerable situation and expose yourself among people you don't know about something that's extremely private, right? And it's a struggle that you go through, and it never ends. You know, it's not something you forget or you move on in life. It's a part of your life, and so it's something that is obviously, as I keep saying, very personal in this case. And it's just awful to hear the level of discourse and the voices that in some way are trying to be dismissive of what, in fact, Donald Trump was saying in that audio tape. And that is not acceptable. And I cannot, you know, I would feel uncomfortable having anyone around me that could support that candidate. Because in essence, you are condoning that type of behavior where you think it's okay to violate a woman, right? And you know, because of the power you have. And that in essence is the definition of abuse, right? Is someone has power and holds it over you and it does something against your will. And so it's, you know, we're living it out, unfortunately. And thankfully I've been getting a lot of positive support.
The speaker says she's really saddened by where we've arrived at in this country.
And that in such a short period of time, this individual has taken us backwards in so many ways. And there's a lot of healing we have to do as a country And I believe very strongly he will not get elected. But there's a lot of healing that has to come once this election is done.
Michelle Obama says she was shaken to the core by the Republican nominee's comments. Speaking at a campaign rally in New Hampshire for Hillary Clinton, Obama called the comments shocking and demeaning. She also dismissed suggestions that they were simply locker room talk, saying they were an affront to all women and parents. According to an average of national polls today, Hillary Clinton has 45%, Donald Trump 40% of the vote. The New York Times upshot says Clinton has an 89% chance of winning the presidency. Clinton now has a slight lead in Florida, Ohio, and North Carolina, with Trump ahead in Iowa, Arizona, Georgia, and strongly ahead in Missouri. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. This evening, Micah Utrick, associate editor at Jacobin Magazine, has our commentary.
A moment of silence, please, for the death of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. This past week saw the release of a tape from 2005 in which Donald Trump brags to Access Hollywood host Billy Bush about getting away with sexually assaulting women because he's famous. The response from the media and from voters has been swift. Universal condemnation from op-ed pages, flailing defenses of Trump's comments as locker room talk by the few surrogates he has left. And voters have responded. Trump's chances of winning the presidency, already incredibly slim, have now dimmed to somewhere between zero and maybe if someone can dig up a tape of Hillary personally pulling the trigger on Vince Foster. Trump's comments are difficult to listen to. They display a particularly vicious kind of bone-deep misogyny, mixed with the privileges attached to extreme wealth, that is disturbing both at face value and for what it suggests men like Trump have said and done about and to women further away from hot mics and video cameras. Trump's chances are over. Hillary will be our next president. This provides us, especially those whose support of Clinton was always qualified, with an opportunity. All throughout the campaign season, we heard scores of variations on a theme from self-styled progressives. Clinton isn't perfect, but a Donald Trump presidency would be so disastrous that we have to elect a safe centrist candidate to stop him. Well, the certainty that Trump will not, in fact, win should set such people free. Every liberal and progressive, from the New York Times or Washington Post op-ed writers to the hashtag I'm with her masses on Twitter, who has held back on criticizing the neoliberal hawkish friend of Wall Street, Hillary Clinton, for fear of bringing about the Third Reich in America, can rest assured that the election is out of Trump's clutches. They can now feel free to publicly criticize the recent revelations by WikiLeaks about Clinton's speeches to Goldman Sachs, or her incredibly destructive foreign policy, the role she played in turning Libya into a failed state, or the tacit endorsement of a coup against a democratically elected president in Honduras. They can call out Clinton's role in pushing welfare reform and a kind of lean-in feminism that only benefits elite women. They can criticize her palling around with ghoul Henry Kissinger. In other words, they can shift from a posture of terror at the prospect of a potential Trump candidacy to one of honesty at how terrible Clinton's track record has been at home and around the world. They can shift to a posture of confrontation with Clinton and her brand of third-way politics. But strangely, it's been a week since the tape was released, and I haven't heard much from those supposedly reluctant Clinton supporters suggesting any kind of shift. You'd think such people, with supposedly progressive commitments that so clearly clash with Clinton's track record, would finally be ready to call Clinton out. And yet, crickets. Over the next few weeks, pay close attention to who continues to offer the full-throated defenses of Clinton. And once she takes office in January, see if those same people continue to offer excuses for why Clinton isn't pursuing a progressive agenda. The nightmare of a potential Trump presidency has passed us by. But what awaits us in a Hillary Clinton presidency is only marginally better. If this scenario is ever going to change, activists and commentators will have to abandon their sycophant attitudes towards centrists like Clinton. There's no better time to do so than right now. For WBAI News, this is Micah Utrick with Jacobin Magazine.
Micah Utrick is associate editor at Jacobin Magazine. He's the author of Strike for America, Chicago Teachers Against Austerity. In other news, as Ben Max of Gotham Gazette tells us, tomorrow is an important voter registration deadline in New York.
There are actually two aspects of the deadline that are extremely important for New York City residents to know about. The first, most pressing one, is that Friday is the deadline to register to vote in the November 8th general election, including for president and a variety of state and local races, including for U.S. Senator and all of the state legislative seats. state senate, state assembly, and so on. Crunching some numbers at Gotham Gazette, we estimate that there are about 2 million New Yorkers across the state who are eligible to vote but not registered. There have been a variety of voter registration drives over the past several months, of course, so that number could be a bit lower as we approach this Friday deadline. Still, though, according to an American Community Survey for 2015, New York is home to about 13.7 million people eligible to vote out of a total state population of 19.7 million. Of those, about 11.7 million people were registered to vote as of April 1st of this year, leaving about 2 million unregistered eligible voters. With New York City representing about 40% of the state's population, that could mean there's just south of a million New York City eligible voters who are not registered. Now, keeping it in New York City, there's another important deadline Friday, and that is if you're already registered to vote, you have until Friday to change your party affiliation. If you're unaffiliated, to declare a party, or if you're registered in one party, to change it in order to vote in the primaries next year, which will include primaries for New York City mayor. Now, this far in advance deadline is one example of New York's broken voting and election laws, but nevertheless, before those are changed, and there could be a lot of pressure on state lawmakers to change those laws next year, before any changes are made, Friday is still that deadline for New York City voters if you want to participate in the New York City mayoral primary or other city primaries in 2017. You must declare a party or change your party affiliation by the end of the day on Friday. While we don't yet know what the mayoral field or other offices' fields will look like next year, you can bet that there will be competitive races and you might want your vote to count in the primaries. There are about 700,000 registered voters in New York City who have an unaffiliated voter registration, meaning they're not affiliated with a party. And because New York has closed party primaries, that means those voters are not eligible to participate. Again, closed versus open party primaries is another example of some of the voting and election laws that some people think need to change in New York, but that's a discussion for another time. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
Turning to international news, the U.S. military waded deeper into civil war in Yemen this week. The U.S. military launched cruise missile strikes today to knock out three coastal radar sites in areas of Yemen controlled by Iran-aligned Houthi forces. U.S. officials said they were retaliating after failed missile attacks this week on a U.S. Navy destroyer. The strikes were authorized by President Barack Obama, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. They represent Washington's first direct military action against suspected Houthi-controlled targets in Yemen's conflict. Yemen is one of seven countries where the U.S. is at war. Winter Santiago is a high school senior with CityS High School. She interns with the peace and activist group The World Can't Wait.
I've always been interested in activism, especially when it comes to anti-war, because I have family members in Yemen, and the circumstances over there are very dangerous, and it's really unfair that my family has to go through that because of the U.S. decides to be a big bully. So
tell us about your family in Yemen.
Due to the circumstances over there, their mindsets, my brothers and sisters, their mindsets are very different, and they, when they leave the house, they're always like on edge and cautious, and they can't just have a normal, they can't go to the store without fear, and it's ridiculous. It truly is.
What's your understanding of why the U.S. is in Yemen?
Originally, in the Middle East in general, looking for weapons of mass destruction that were found to be not even a real thing. So why are we still there? Well, for a whole bunch of excuses that the U.S. made up, but in all actuality, none of them are true.
Deborah Sweet is executive director of The World Can't Wait.
The U.S. is still waging unjust war on Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Pakistan. These are the ones we know about, but we don't know about all the secret operations that are the glue right now of the U.S. waging war, and we are looking at very serious potential escalation against Russia. And all of that is being thrown around as if it is
necessary and normal. No, it isn't. It's completely unjust, outrageous, immoral, and really illegitimate. This doesn't have anything to do with the people. This is not being a demand raised from within the U.S. population, except by the very intensely cultivated right wing, the section of people who really want this world to go back to the 50s when the U.S. was in, the U.S. and men and white people were in charge. Those days need to be over, but it takes a lot of actual work for us to do that. We have to be out among people arguing over these ideas. We can't allow people to passively absorb what either the Republicans or the Democrats are saying is the, you know, the interests of this system.
Marlena Morred is also an intern at the World Can't Wait.
I found out that U.S. is, you know, for example, Yemen, they'll throw, like, you know, they have these drones that will, like, throw bombs on people for no reason. Like, they could be playing soccer or they could be, you know, just walking out their house and then right off the bat, they're a target. Like, oh, they're doing something wrong. They have a weapon when they're not even doing anything. And they'll just drop a bomb and kill those innocent people for no reason. And they'll use this term where they felt threatened on why they attacked these people when they weren't even threatened at all. These people were like normal people like us.
The revelations by whistleblower Ed Snowden showed that the NSA is targeting people based at times on their SIM cards, their cell phone SIM cards, which could be switched, which might not necessarily say this person is like a terrorist, and that people who innocent bystanders are getting blown up.
Yeah, like we need more stuff like that. Like it's like totally unfair. Like there was this one clip that I watched and these like innocent people were just filming and next thing you know the U.S. were starting to shoot them from like a helicopter or a drone and killing these people. And then a van pulled up trying to help them and there were kids in the van and they shot up the van with the kids in there. And their response was, well, the parents should have never had the children with them in a war battle. Like, how is it a battle when they're not even fighting back?
Are you talking about collateral murder, which was
yes.
the video that Chelsea Manning
yes, I am.
Leaked to WikiLeaks?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I find that to be so, like, it's very heartbreaking to see stuff like that. And, like, when one U.S. soldier tries to help him, he gets bashed for trying to help kids. Like, what does kids have to do with a war battle, let alone neither of them had weapons?
And Chelsea is in prison.
Yeah, which is totally unfair. And I feel like Chelsea should be let out. Why should Chelsea be in jail for something, like for pointing out something that is totally wrong?
Chelsea Manning, a transgender former Army intelligence analyst in Iraq, is serving 35 years at the military prison in Fort Leavenworth. She was put in solitary for 7 days for attempting suicide. Solitary, well known to exacerbate depression and other mental health conditions. Yesterday, she tweeted, "I'm okay." She was out of solitary. Her lawyer, Nancy Hollander, sent out on social media a message that Chelsea thanks all for love and support. Meanwhile, the Pentagon stressed the limited nature of the strikes in Yemen aimed at radar that enabled the launch of at least 3 missiles against the U.S. Navy ship USS Mason on Sunday and Wednesday. Now Iran says it will deploy 2 warships into the area. According to Deborah Sweet, people should be very alarmed by what the U.S. is doing in Yemen and elsewhere. She says people should be out on the street saying, stop these wars for empire.
This is called imperialism, and it's a new form of imperialism that's advanced since Lenin first identified it more than 100 years ago. But what it means is the U.S. is the head of an economic system which really dominates the rest of the world and tremendously exploits it. And a huge part of that is being able to have the biggest military in the history of the world. This money would not keep flowing into an economic system dominated by the U.S. without guns spread everywhere, perhaps as many as 1,200 bases.
Yeah, no.
the U.S. has around the world. And this extension of might is at all levels. Now they're going increasingly to both secret operations and targeted killing through drones.
Meanwhile, alongside the fence outside City Hall today, Granny Peace Brigade activists want the ROTC, the Reserve Officers Training Corps, out of New York City public schools. Joan Plune with the brigade says it has no business being there.
We are protesting the fact, and we have been protesting the fact, that the city budget every year includes $1.5 million to train kids to carry guns in our high schools. There's a JROTC program in 18 New York City high schools.
And what's the justification for these programs being in our schools?
I have no idea. They barely know they're there. Carmen Farina was unaware that there was JROTC in 18 city high schools. But they are aware of it now. We've been out here for a couple years now protesting it. And yeah.
And so what's the recourse? What can be done about this?
Well, I think people could get in touch with their city council people, as well as Carmen Farina and Mayor de Blasio. Since this has been so ineffective, and we've been in the chambers, and we sit in education meetings with the same signs, clearly there's more going on here. I would imagine this $1.5 million is matched by federal money. So I'm sure the feds have something to do with it.
And so the signs that you are holding here, can you just tell our listeners what the signs say?
One says JROTC, guns in schools. What is the message? Then down there, there's one that says no rifles in school. JROTC sends the wrong message to students. And mine says, New York City Council, what a shill. You voted to teach our kids to kill. As you can see, I'm getting really angry.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free?
In other news, yes, Bob Dylan has now been declared not just a musical legend, but a poet of the highest order. He's now a Nobel laureate. 75-year-old Dylan becomes the first musician in the 115-year history of the Nobel Prize to win the prize in literature. He was honored for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. Back in 2012, Dylan was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Dylan rarely gives interviews, and one of his representatives said he has no immediate comment. Bob Dylan is on tour. He is scheduled to play this evening in Las Vegas.
Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths?
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, October 13th. The news was produced with Micah Utrecht, Ben Max, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.